Scripture reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 4. We'll read the entire chapter. Hear, O son, a father's instructions, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in my sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you, and you embrace her. And she will place on you, your head, a graceful garnet. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, and the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you to the path of uprightness. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. If you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instructions. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. From it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech. Put away divisive talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The sermon I'm about to read was prepared by Reverend D. Vandenberg of the Church of Langley. He has chosen the text for a sermon, Proverbs 4, verse 10 through 13. I'd like to read these verses again. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you the path of uprightness. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instructions. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometime there is a question asked by people, particular of more public figures, and that question is, what will your legacy be? What will your legacy be? It's not just a question for public figures and presidents and sports heroes. It is a question that every adult should ask themselves at some point. It is a question you should ask yourself. What will my legacy be? If you are a child, maybe you are wondering this morning, Well, what is a legacy? Well, a legacy is anything handed down from a family member in the past. So that could be money. After all, money gets handed down from parents when parents pass away. But this morning, we're not talking about the legacy of money receiving from the estate of your parents. I want to talk about something else that is handed down from your parents. I want to talk about the legacy of wisdom. The legacy of wisdom that parents, grandparents need to leave behind for the coming generations. I direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live." The person who's hearing this is the grandson. The person who is referred to is the grandfather. And the father says to his son, "I want you to know what grandpa's legacy was." For me, grandpa's legacy for me was that there was wisdom that needed to be taken hold of, that I needed to keep the commandments of God and so live. And now that father seeks to leave that legacy with his own son. He too shares the message that with wisdom there is life. So I return to that question for you as parents. Parents, what will your legacy be? And for the children here, I ask you the question, what will you do with that legacy? Not only that legacy your parents seek to leave you, but also that legacy your teachers seek to leave you. Will you listen to the wisdom of teachers? Will you listen to your parents? Will you listen to your school teachers? Will you listen to your elders? Will you listen to the minister? Will you hold on to wisdom's instructions? This morning, I proclaim to you God's word. I will tell you that you must listen. You must hold fast. Why? Because wisdom is your life. And so, because wisdom is your life, you must. 1, listen to wisdom's teachers. 2, hold on to wisdom's instructions. Now, at this point, I have not given you the definition of wisdom. As you go through the book of Proverbs, you get to understand that wisdom is that learned skill of living rightly in the world gone wrong. Wisdom is that skill living rightly in the world gone wrong. And so the book of Proverbs is filled with parental instruction, with the teacher's instruction for the youth, saying, you need to learn the skill of living this way, in that the world is going that way. And to learn that skill, you need teachers. I've already identified for you who wisdom's teachers are. First and foremost are your parents. If you are a young boy or girl in this church, or a teenager, you probably have Christian parents. Christian parents are, or at least should be, seeking to leave a legacy of wisdom for you. In addition to your parents, I have also mentioned your school teachers, the leaders of this church. Wisdom has many teachers. You have many teachers. And now listen to what your teachers say to you. Proverbs 4, verse 10 says, "Hear," or "listen, my son, accept my words that the years of your life may be many." I wish to reflect further with you on the command to hear or to listen. Have your parents ever challenged you to listen to them? Have your teachers ever challenged you to listen to them? And when we hear this challenge, we know that it means open our ears and pay attention to what is said. Already at this point, there is a challenge for all of us, but especially for the youth, because your parents are talking, and as your teachers are talking, they get the distinct sense that nothing is really hitting home. They notice it and says, "You are not listening to me." But even if you are hearing, And even if you're paying attention, and does not necessarily mean that you are listening. How do I know that? Well, look at the word that parallels the word here in our text in verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words. The command to accept further explains the command to hear. For you to accept is for you to reach out and make the teaching your own. That is what it means to hear or to listen. You have truly listened to the word wisdom's teachers when you ask their teaching to heart. You have truly listened when you take the hand of your teacher and go where your teachers lead you and where your teachers guide you. Listen to the Father as he speaks about this in verse 11. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you into path of righteousness. To listen is to go where you lead, where you are led and guided. To listen is to go where you are guided. To listen is to follow where someone is leading you. Boys and girls, young people, are you listening to wisdom's teachers? Are you hearing them? Are you paying attention to them? And most important, are you taking it to heart, what they are telling you? I know this is not easy to do. I know it's not easy to do, not only because I was once in your shoes. I know it's not easy to do because even as an adult, we sometimes have a hard time listening to wisdom's teachers. Why is that? Well, it is because wisdom teacher is not only the voice speaking into your life. All around you, there is a lot of voices. There's a lot of noise vying for your attention. A few years ago, U2, a new album, was automatically downloaded to every iTunes user. If you are an iTunes user, whether you liked it or not, you got the new album for free. Now, you may recall that not everyone was happy with this. So somebody sat down with Bono, the lead of U2, and asked, can you explain your decision? Why did you download your album to every iTunes user, whether they wanted it or not? And this was what his explanation to this decision. There is a lot of noise out there. I guess I got a little noisy myself to get through it. That's a profound statement. There's a lot of noise out there. He is right. There is a lot of noise out there. And a lot of noise that you hear is folly. There are voices that speak into your heart and life. They are seeking to guide you on the path of wicked and the way of evil men. There are voices calling you into the deep darkness of sin. And to say in verse, and it says in verse 19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And you and I are tempted to listen to these voices. So boys and girls, young people, take care. Be careful not to listen to these voices. Rather, take care to listen to wisdom's teachers and parents and all others who participate in teaching. Recognize that sometimes you are going to need to get a little noisy yourselves. In order to get through all that other noise, you see, your voice needs to be heard. Your voice needs to be heard because your children, your students, and fellow church members have their very lives at stake. Your physical life is at stake. Look at the second part of verse 10. The years of your life may be many. Maybe you can hear the echo of the blessings attached to the fifth commandment, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Young people, the Lord your God blesses the lives of those who listen to wisdom's teachers. He blesses them with many years of life. Some of you may want to ask, Does this mean that if I listen to my dad, I will live longer? And the answer is yes, that's exactly what it means. But you remember that statement made in Proverbs is not an ironclad guarantee. Proverbs makes general truth statements, but does not give ironclad guarantees. There are parents here who know this to be true. Their sons and daughters died at a young age. Their children did not experience a blessing of many years of life, but this does not change what the general truth. When you accept that wisdom teachers is telling you, when you receive wisdom into your heart, the years of your life will be many. But if you don't, as the book of Proverbs repeatedly teaches, you will walk down the path towards death. That is not just physical death. That's not just you, your physical death that is at stake, but it's your spiritual life that this is also at stake. You see this in verse 12 of your text. Their father says to his son, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. Boys and girls, young people, when you choose to walk the way of wisdom and run along the path of uprightness, then you will experience the blessings of life, even life forevermore. Your steps will not be hampered. Nothing will stop you from journeying towards the fullness of life with God. You will not stumble or to fall away from eternal life. This is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. I am not saying you will not fall into sin, even serious sin. This can happen, but you listen to wisdom and turn to God in repentance. You will come to experience the reality of the promise of this text, the fullness of life with God. Why? Because the work of your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, said that Christ Jesus has become to us witness, wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. So above all, young people, accept that wisdom teaches you to say about Jesus Christ. You are to embrace him with a true and living faith. You must not let go of him, for he is your life. And we come to our second point, that you must hold on to wisdom's instructors. Wisdom is life. We come now to the last verse of our text. Keep hold of instructions. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Keep hold of instruction. What is instruction? Well, if you look through the book of Proverbs, it is another word for wisdom. But this has another flavor to it. It is the teaching of wisdom that is correctiveness. What I mean by that word corrective is that it is the teaching that points you away from death and towards life. It is the instructions that point you away from sin and point you to Jesus Christ. For as Paul says in Colossians 2 verse 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, if you take this wisdom of God and make it your own by faith, this does not automatically mean you will easily walking down the path of righteousness, but easy running down the path of wisdom. And I remind you that this is not what verse 12 teaches. I've explained that verse 12 offers you the promise of spiritual security as you walk along the straight path and run the path of wisdom. However, the voice of folly is still going to seek to draw you away from the path of wisdom. It is often this time of year that I make this point about wisdom. It is this time of year that young people are preparing themselves to publicly confess their faith. And I have often given the warning that public confession of faith is to definitely make the choice to speak on and to choose the steps onto the path of wisdom. To make that choice that you have heard, I have paid attention, that I have accepted these truths in my heart. I'm going to follow Jesus, who is my wisdom before God. Once you make that choice and say yes, by the grace of God and the prior work of the Holy Spirit, once you make that choice, you step onto the path. The world, the devil, and your own flesh will continue to attack with greater force than you ever experienced in your life. They will intensify, pursue you, seeking to draw you away from the path of wisdom, to divert onto the path that leads to death. And it is because of this spiritual reality that you come to those three commands on verse 13. Keep hold, do not let go, garter, because wisdom is your life. You must hold on to every ounce of your strength with your strength, because wisdom is your life. You must not let go from between your fingers, because wisdom is your life. You must guard it well. To help illustrate this point, I want you to follow me in your mind for a moment as I journey through the heart of a major city. When I journeyed into the heart of a major city, I always experienced the same fear. It is the fear of being robbed. So you know what I do? I take my wallet out of my back pocket and put it into my front pocket. I did this for many years until I learned that pickpocketers are just adept to taking things out of your front pocket as they are out of your back pocket. So I decided that at that point on, I will walk down the street, not only with my wallet in my front pocket, but so my hand, and I gripped it, with my wallet. I held onto it. I wouldn't let go. I guarded it well. Regardless of what you think of my actions, I want you to see that this is what life in the world is like. Life as a Christian is like journeying down the street knowing that there are many people present who are going to take your wallet, or at least they're going to try. More than that, it is like journeying down the street knowing that there are people present on the street who want your life, and they would take your life from you. For you see, your wallet contains your treasure, and your treasure is wisdom's instruction. And wisdom instruction, says our text, is your life, my life. So there are three commands in this text. Keep hold, do not let go, garter. These three commands have one question: how? How do you guard wisdom's instructions well? How do you hold on to it? How do you not let go? Be continually returning to it. Let your hand return time and again to your wallet. To feel that your wallet is still there, let your heart be with wisdom's instructions, continually returning to the teachings of wisdom. Do you know one of the best ways of doing this? By memorizing wisdom's instructions. There is no better way to guard wisdom's instructions than to commit to memory, to commit it in your hearts as you study it and pray over it, because once it's in your heart, it's locked up solid. No one can take it from you. When you continue returning to wisdom instruction, your enemies will not have opportunity to take it from you. Moreover, the more you keep wisdom within your heart, the less room there is for folly. And you say, I'm not listening to that noise. The better you listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, the better you will take hold of instructions. For he is wisdom, chief prophet and teacher. He is the one greater than Solomon. One of his own voice, of his own teaching, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Brothers and sisters, young and old alike, Jesus, who is your wisdom, gives you eternal life, and he gives you the assurance that if you listen to him, he will keep you safe. Because no one can pry you from the fingers of his hand, so listen to him, accept what he says, because he gives you eternal life. Hold on to him, for in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You are, of course, you are on the path of wisdom. You are walking, you are running. As I reflect on this command of our text, to hold on to wisdom's instructions, I thought of Hebrews 12. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he is wisdom. His voice is wisdom. As we follow Jesus, we follow one who has already walked the path ahead of us. Jesus is the one who listens perfectly to the voice of his Father in heaven. He listens to the voice of his Father in heaven. He did not experience many days of living on this earth. That was not his blessing. He was exempt to the general rule because he walked into the heart of a major city, knowing people had plans for him. He knew that he would experience death at their hands, even death on the cross. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. What joy? The joy of everlasting life with the Father and with all of his Father's children. He did for the joy of giving eternal life to you and me. Listen to him, beloved, because he and he alone is your life. Hold on to him, for he and he alone gives you life. Embrace him with the living faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, that when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. Then when you run, you will not stumble. Amen. Let us, in singing response, hymn 43.